Well, we're going to have a workshop on scripture memory this morning. And what I'd like for us to do is we're going to try to break it up into the first part of the time. We're going to try to talk about and come up with some reasons why people memorize scripture and reasons why people don't memorize scripture. And then we're going to, the next section, we're going to go through a systematic approach of memorizing scripture. And then the last section, we're going to try to summarize things and deal with questions and kind of put it all together for us, okay? And the first few minutes, what I'd like for us to do is break up into groups. And if we could, we've got two different rooms in there, and maybe we can put two groups in here. And I'd like the two groups in that section, I'd like you all to discuss and come up with some reasons why people memorize Scripture. What has motivated you in the past? What motivates other people? And then I'd like the two groups that are in here to discuss why people refuse to memorize Scripture, or what are hindrances? Why do people not memorize Scripture? And if you can come up with a spokesman we'll get back together in a few minutes and we'll kind of come up with the reason to put that together. So let's divide right here, okay? And let's have the back two rows on that side and the front two rows on this side stay in this room, okay? And then the back two rows on that side, if y'all could take your chairs and go in that area. And I'd like for y'all to find out, come up with the reasons why people memorize Scripture, okay? And then the first two rows here in that area, and y'all want to discuss, again, the reasons why people memorize Scripture, want to get Scripture memory, okay? And then maybe if y'all can get in that corner, and then if y'all can kind of come around to this corner so we don't discuss, and y'all want to come up with reasons why people don't memorize Scripture.
Or quit.
Yeah, reasons why people don't quit. Sound like y'all were having some good discussion. Okay, well, why don't we hear from the groups in the bedroom area there about what reasons did y'all come up with that, or reasons that are either, well, they're either good reasons to memorize or Scripture, or maybe not so good, but reasons why people memorize Scripture. Who is the... Okay.
We have came up with a list of about, I guess, seven things here.
Okay.
And the first one was so that you have a ready tool to use in the event that you need to quote Scripture.
Okay, a ready tool?
You don't always have an opportunity to use your Bible. Someone made the comment, some of the best moments to witness to someone, there's not a Bible.
Okay. Okay, good.
Another one was there's always the possibility that, you know, this country or any other place where you are may disallow Bibles. So you still have Scripture to use.
Okay, so we might lose the Bible. Good.
And then in Joshua 1:8, you know, we're commanded to know the Scriptures. So it's
just obedience.
Not just a good idea, but obedience.
Okay, good.
In the, I'm going to say, maybe the thing to put down would be to be exact and not general in your discussion, and that came from the idea that when you're talking to somebody and you don't have the Scriptures, if you just remember the generality of what Scripture can say, you could be wrong and mislead someone.
Be able to be exacting.
Yes.
Okay.
I guess akin to that, at is when dealing with lost people, you can share your faith accurately and also in memorizing scripture demonstrate a commitment that you have to your own profession. That may be two different things, actually. You got it down. Accuracy maybe demonstrates your commitment.
Okay. Accuracy in just being able to share the gospel, in
right.
Doctrinal accuracy.
Right. And then demonstrates their commitment to people that don't know Christ. It means enough to you to have memorized the scriptures you're using.
You're an example.
Yeah, that's an example.
Okay.
And then the last thing was you're more likely to use scripture.
Okay, so good. So you're more likely to put it in application. Okay. It's kind of hard to see over there, isn't it? So, scripture memory gives you a tool to use in ministry. What if we lose the Bible? It's just a matter of being obedient. You can be exact when you talk to people, share the scripture. Accuracy of doctrine is helpful if you know specific scriptures, and then an application. Okay, how about y'all? Did y'all come up with some other reasons that you'd add to that?
Yes.
All right.
One is protection from evil.
Good, okay. Protection from evil. Okay. Can y'all hear them talking? Okay. You might not be able to see the board, but you can hear what they say. And well, I don't know how to do that. Okay. All right.
It's one of the pieces of armor for not only for protection in battle, but for a battle weapon.
Okay, so it's the idea of a tool, a weapon, right?
Yeah, more than a tool.
More than a tool, it's a weapon. Okay, it's our armor, part of our armor. Ephesians 6:10.
Mm-hmm. It's also the method by which we store up good things in our heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh.
So it changes our heart.
And in the process of storing it up, it changes us as well.
Okay.
Philippians 4:8, we think on things that are pure, things that are holy, and replace undesirable thoughts with Scripture.
So it changes our heart, our mind, changes... Okay, good.
It also reminds us of God's promises and reminds God that we are aware of His promise.
So it reminds us of the promises of God. Okay.
It authenticates what we say in our witness. If we make a statement and quote Scripture as Jesus spoke as one with authority and not as the scribes and Pharisees, we authenticate what we say by the Scripture.
Okay.
One of the most important things it does.
Okay. So it authenticates. So we're not speaking on our own authority. We're saying what the Bible says. I had a person when I was in Kansas City. My instructor in my residency. She said, "Boy, I just can't stand Christians to talk about being born again, being born again." She was, from a denomination that didn't like to use that word. And as I got to thinking about that, I thought, Well, gracious. I mean, that's what Jesus said. I mean, Jesus was the one that said that. I mean, it's not just denominations. So we don't use our authority, but the authority of the Scriptures. Okay?
Probably as important as any of that is the fact that it's the source of our truth and from which we draw our own conclusions, therefore choosing our behavior.
Okay, so it's the source of our truth and direction of our life.
And we ought to know it.
Okay. Those are excellent. Excellent. Okay? A little bit of combination there. Combination of both the good that it does to us and for us, as well as we can help other people in. Okay? Well, let's give out our handout before I forget to do that. I think there's enough for everybody. Let's see now. Could y'all start on those back two rows and hand those out? Okay, so y'all really did a good job coming up with those. The idea of that of the Word of God being the source of our life and having an impact on our life is, in my opinion, so key because of the. That's what I need. I need to be changed in the image of Christ and become more like Jesus. I need to get to know Jesus better. And as that happens, He changed our heart. He changed our thinking. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured into His very own image. In ever-increasing splendor, from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord the Spirit. So as we are constantly gazing into the Word, the Holy Spirit is taking that and supernaturally helping us become more like Christ. And so the impact that it has on our life is just phenomenal. Deuteronomy 32, 46 and 47, I think is an excellent verse to go along with this. He said to them, "Take to your heart all the words with which I am warning you today, which you shall command your sons to observe carefully, even all the words of this law. For it is not an idle word for you. Indeed, it is your life. And by this word you shall prolong your days in the land where you're about to cross over the Jordan to possess it." And so the Bible is not something we can take or leave. It's kind of like physical food. I mean, if you stop eating physical food, you're going to die. You're not going to prolong your life in the land. And so our thinking in terms of continuing to take in the Word as being absolutely vital. It's not an idle word. It's not meaningless, but it's absolutely vital for us to for our own source of growth and strength. And then just getting to know Jesus better, I think would have to do with I think we hit on it in one of these. John 16:24. Knowing it so you can obey it. Here it is. Application. John 16:24 says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." And the key there is that we get to know Jesus better, not just as a result of rotely memorizing verses or rotely doing Bible study or rotely reading the Bible just because we're supposed to do it. But He says, first you have my commandments. In other words, we know them. We have them. And then we can keep them. If we don't know them, it's going to be hard to keep them. And so, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." And later on it says, "I will manifest myself to him." So really, the key thing about growing in Christ and continuing to mature spiritually is not necessarily that we can quote a bunch of verses, but that we are putting those verses to... James?
It's John 14:21
that you quoted. 16. I'm sorry. That's right. John 14:21. I'm sorry. I think John 15:24, That's on prayer, isn't it? Okay, good. So John 14:21. Thanks. I need to work on my review, I guess. And so real key in just getting to know Jesus better. All right? Good. One of the things that no one mentioned was the help that it is in your family. Deuteronomy 11, 18 through 20. Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hands, that they may be as frontless between your eyes. And ye shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So if we know the scriptures, you see, we can be driving along, taking our kid to play school, and they can ask a question. Well, we don't have our Bible with us. We don't have this or that. You know, we can't read while we drive. But they can ask a question, and we can share truth from them. And, well, remember what that verse says? And they say, oh, yeah, yeah. And so it can have a tremendous impact on our family and on our children. Y'all mentioned help in spiritual battle, the tools that we have to use and the weapons, the armor. Mentioned being exacting. And I think Hebrews 4, 12, and 13 relates to that, because it says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom, under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And so we can have a debate with somebody, and we say, yeah, but the Bible says abortion's wrong, you know? I mean, and the Bible says abortion's wrong, and the Bible says abortion's wrong. And they just get mad at the Bible. I mean, you know. But if you quote Psalms 139, 16, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unformed, you see. And in my book, all my members were written, which in continuance they were fashioned. I mean, that's talking about in the womb, as the embryo is developing. God already has a plan, had a plan for David. And you quote that verse, you see, that does something different, because the Word of God is like an arrow that kind of divides the soul and the spirit and cuts to the quick. And I was talking to a guy one time in the office, a patient, and sharing the gospel with him. And this guy was a contractor, you know, big, heavy-set guy, tough guy. And so I kind of got into it with him and asked him a few questions and shared gospel with him. And he said, well, you know, this is what I believe. And he went through this very eloquent explanation, including some Eastern mysticism thinking and New Age thinking and secular humanism. And he had this all worked out into, well, we're kind of all climbing up the mountain on different sides, and we're all kind of going to reach the top, but we're just taking different routes, you see, up the mountain. That's Eastern mysticism thinking. And I mean, I thought I was in a philosophy class, you know. Very eloquent explanation from this big, tough guy. And I said, well, but you know, John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. How do you think what he said relates to your philosophy? He says, I guess I'm wrong, you know. You know, and so just, you know, quoting a specific verse just kind of cuts right to the deal. I mean, what he said was funny in that, but I can't remember what he said. It almost, you know, made me break out laughing, but I guess I'm wrong. So helpful in sharing the scripture with people in the spiritual battle. Warren Sandy said, life is not a symphony, it's a battle. And in every area, personal, family, job, you know, ministry. Lauren Sanney says that one thing that characterizes a qualified laborer is that he handles the Scripture well, and one of the best ways to get to know and handle well the Scripture is Scripture memory. And this has to this relates to one of the things that y'all were talking about as a tool of ministry, and also accuracy, knowing what you believe in doctrine. And it helps in Bible study. Matthew 22:29, Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, you do err, or the Sadducees, I think he was talking to. He says, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. And so we miss out on knowing anything about the power of God if we don't know the Scriptures. And Titus 1:9 relates to this idea. Holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, that he may be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. And that's in that passage, one of the passages that talks about the requirements of an elder. And we just finished a study on leadership, went through a study that Doug Sparks had put together on leadership. And it was interesting, if you go through those, there's three or four passages in the New Testament that talks about the requirements for elders, and you go through there, 20 of those all had to do with character. Just upright, integrity, kind, loving, merciful, you know, loves to be with people. There's only three skills that are really in those lists. The ability to manage his household well, and then Titus 1:9. The ability to preach sound doctrine, and the ability to refute those who contradict. And so Scripture memory will help us to do that. And so very vital. Y'all mentioned purity. Let's look at Proverbs 6:20-26. Because this has to do with one of the objections. Well, what if I'm going to have my Bible, why can't I read it? And this kind of has to do with that. My son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. Now listen to this. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you. Now, you know, I don't know if I agree with Freud and the subconscious and all that stuff. But to me, that looks like, to me, when I'm sleeping, my mind is still working. Yes?
What scripture
do you use? Proverbs 6:20 down to about 23. Okay? And that goes on to tell you that having the Scripture in your life will protect you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress, when adulteress hunts for the precious life. But that seems to indicate that if we have the Word of God in our life, it works in our mind even when we're not consciously thinking of that. Kind of cleans out our mind, like Gene was saying. Yes?
You quoted from Deuteronomy earlier, not the 11th chapter, but the one before that.
Like Deuteronomy 32:46-47. So it will work to purify our life. Spiritual prosperity, Psalms 1:1-2. Personal guidance, Psalms 119:105. And then answered prayer. I don't think we talked about that. John 15:7. If ye abide in my word, then you shall ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. So we need to know his word before we abide it. It's interesting that, as far as I know, there's no commandment in the New Testament that commands us to memorize Scripture. The commands to memorize Scripture are in the Old Testament. But I don't know of any. Does anyone know a verse in the New Testament like those Old Testament verses that command us to memorize Scripture? I don't know of one, but Jesus just assumes we know the Scripture. He just kind of assumes that we're going to memorize. It's not telling us you memorize. He just kind of assumes that, and then he goes on, now keep them.
What
does Matthew 4:4 say?
But he answered, that it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of the Scripture.
Uh-huh.
It was written by the word of God.
Live by the word of God. That's good. Okay? Well, I think y'all really picked them out there. That's good. Well, okay, what about now reasons that people don't memorize Scripture? Let me get this. Okay, what are some incorrect reasons to memorize? Did y'all come up with some? Okay. So to impress people? Yep.
Can that still have a positive effect if you do memorize the law?
God's word does not return void.
Isaiah 55:11. Yeah, and I think that kind of gets into the reasons maybe not to memorize Scripture, because one reason some people say, y'all probably going to bring this up, is that, well, Scripture memory is too regimented. It's militaristic. It's rote memory. And I just don't feel like doing that. And if I don't feel like doing it, I mean, I must not be sincere.
I'm just going to say, the idea would be that you would use a verse of Scripture so many times that you wouldn't have to memorize it. If you had read it so many times to someone and seen it so many times yourself, you know, you're that way with the phone numbers. And, you know, I can quote probably 60 phone numbers that I know right off the top of my head, because I'm in the contracting business and I call them every day. And I know if you ask me somebody's phone number, I can give it to you. And it would be great if it were the same way with the Scripture, so that we didn't have to memorize it.
Yeah.
It would just simply come to be in our heart because of usage.
Yeah.
But that, obviously that's not the way it works.
Yeah.
It started coming in the back door, but still, you got to get there somehow. I mean, if I don't know the phone number, I've got a phone book where I can look it up.
He has memorized them. That's why he knows them.
He has memorized them. That's right. Well, let's get into some of the reasons people don't memorize, and I think that we'll clarify that. So let me just put down that first people. A real common reason that people tell me is they think it's too legalistic. What they mean is it's too regimented. It's rote memory, and there's nothing. I don't feel ooshy gushy about it, and so it's just work. And it's too legalistic. And so we're going to try to deal with that. And I think that will help relate to this. You know, you're in a study, and the requirement to be in that study is that you memorize a verse. You know, so your motivation to memorize this verse is because you want to be in this study. And the reason you want to be in the study is because all the end guys are in this study, you know. So should I say, I don't really want to memorize this verse, so I don't want to be in your study. But you want to be in the study because you can get some help in the study. So how do you handle that? Okay. What are some other reasons people don't memorize Scripture? Did y'all come up with some? James, did you?
Can't find time. Also included in that is priorities. Just probably lazy. No accountability. Not really responsible to anybody else for anything, so they just don't do it. They don't want to deal with the problems that we have in our lives that the Scripture addresses.
Before I became a Christian, I was memorizing Scripture because I was involved in the BSU ministry that James Redeker was in when Max Barnett was there. And so before I even became a Christian, I was memorizing Scripture. Because that's what you did. You got in a Bible study and you started having a quiet time. You had a Bible study, you started memorizing Scripture. And so I was riding down the street one time and I was smoking my cigarette and I was reviewing my verses. And I came across 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Well, it doesn't seem consistent, does it? Now, I didn't throw away the weed then, But the Lord used that to convict me, real specific. And I threw it away later after I came to Christ. But so you don't like to be convicted of specific sin. So conviction, the word convicts you, okay? Okay.
Organized plan.
No plan, okay.
A lot of direction might fit in on that. And this might fit under just being lazy, but it's hard to review. You get these things built up and
hard to review.
Hard to review, okay. And I don't think that's laziness. I think that we need to talk about that. I think that that's a different deal. But it is hard to review.
Boring?
Boring, okay.
And some people just say, oh, that's not my gift. That's not my calling.
Not gift and calling.
You just can't learn.
Okay, can't memorize. Y'all have any others?
In addition to the ones that they mentioned, we've got about four more.
Okay.
Not thinking that it's important. I didn't hear that. Was that mentioned?
Okay. Okay.
Priority.
Okay. Not thinking it's important.
Not seeing the need for it. Ignorance of the reasons to do it.
Okay. Just lack of instruction. I think we've got that.
Not wanting to go over to work, no fasting. I think you already covered that also. Already have a paraphrase. You already know it. Just don't see a need to have a scripture and verse verbatim.
Okay, so you don't need to have rote memory. You feel negative about just having word for word. Okay. All right. This is real common. Real common. Gosh, I know the idea, and I know it's in there, so why rote memory? Okay, good. Those are good. Any other? Okay, excellent. One of the most common reasons that I hear people say is it's just too legalistic, and by that they don't mean losing their salvation, but they just mean it's regimented, and they don't like to do anything that's regimented, and they don't like to do anything that they don't feel ushy-gushy about. So they have a wrong motive. They think they have a wrong motive. Now, there are wrong motives, I mean, to impress people or you can have wrong motives to do things. But I think just because there's not an emotional feeling about it, we can compare that to Gene's illustration about remembering dates for our wedding. I mean, for our marriage relationship. Our wife, the reason that's important to her is because if we remember those dates, that communicates to her that we love her. Now, we may not understand that, but we just have to realize that communicates to her that I love her. And so I'm going to remember those dates. And the problem with those dates is they're very regimented. They come every year at the same time, year in, year out. And, you know, could you imagine a husband saying, you know, I just think that we need to get less regimented in our love life here, and that I think trying to remember all those dates, just too regimented, and I just kind of want to love you this kind of free love here and get out of all this regimentation. So I'm not going to remember your birthday anymore, and I'm not going to remember your Valentine's Day anymore, and we're just not going to pay attention to it. That's all too regimented. I mean, you know, that would communicate to her. So the problem is not throw away the regimentation. You can't throw away the regimentation. I mean, Valentine's Day is February 14th. Your anniversary is, you know, you can't change the fact that it's regimented. And so what's the answer? Well, the answer is you need to change your heart. See? And I need to change my heart. I mean, she says that's the way I manifest love to her. And so in my heart, if I want to manifest love to her, then I have to change my own motivation and the issue is the heart. Romans 6:17-18 says, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you have become obedient from the heart to that form of teaching. And so the idea is that we memorize Scripture not for external reasons, but we want to be obedient from the heart. And that has to do with our personal walk, okay? Time and priorities, just not feeling that it's important. I think that is really a key. Latent spiritual lethargy, Proverbs 13:4. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing. The soul of the diligent is made fat, made rich. Proverbs 22:3, a prudent man foresees difficulties ahead and prepares for them. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. There's tremendous blessings promised us if we have the Word of God in our life, and tremendous benefits to protect us from the stuff that's going to happen in the future if we have the Scriptures in our mind. No accountability. I think that is so true. And Luke 18:1, he who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. It's so important to have someone else and be checking up on you and helping you. The other thing is good intentions. We mentioned here someplace, kind of wanting to do it, but no follow-through. 2 Corinthians 8:11, now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be performance also out of that which you have. And many times we think, well, just because we have a good intention, that's good enough. But it's not. We can't equate good intentions with obedience. The other issue is just doesn't want to obey. I mean, it deals with an area in our life that we don't want to bring into conformity, and that has to do with Jesus' Lordship. John 7:17, if any man is willing to do his will, he will know the teaching, whether it's God or whether I speak for myself. So it gets back to our motivation in the heart. And really, I think that's key. I think that if someone is struggling in the area of lordship, they're going to have a hard time memorizing Scripture. And to me, if someone is struggling, you need to deal with that area of lordship. I mean, but one of the things that can happen is, as they memorize Scripture, the Lord, I think, can use the Scripture to do that. And then just having an inadequate system or not being flexible or not having a good system for review. Boring, this has to do with one question here, how do we pick verses to memorize? And I think that we pick verses that speak to us out of our quiet time or out of a message. And if those personally speak to us, those verses are going to be meaningful to us for the rest of our life. And when I was first around the BSU and hearing all these messages and things, and a new Christian, I'd hear someone give a message, and boy, a couple of verses would really, really hit me, and I'd memorize those. And then another message, you know, or someone would say something, boy, and so the next year, when I went to medical school, began to get some help by a fellow up there that worked in Oklahoma City, and he wanted us to memorize the TMS. And I thought, well, okay. And so I looked at the TMS, and practically all the verses in the TMS I had already memorized, the topical memory system, just spontaneously. Those verses spoke to me in a meaningful way, and I'd already memorized most of them. And what that told me was that the topical memory system are kind of classic verses that will meet our needs in a very real way. And that's an excellent place to start, the topical memory system. And as we memorize verses that are meaningful to us, I think that we'll overcome the problem with boredom. And then just an inadequate system. And I think that's, I think we're going to just kind of go into that now. And the fear of failure and being intimidated, I think, has to do with the idea that people don't feel like they can memorize. And I think it's just a matter of having a plan and then asking God to just help you in the plan and do it, and also to pray for a love for the Word, and also to approach it from the standpoint of wanting to get to know the Lord better and wanting to have the Word of God used in our lives in that way. Okay. We've kind of exhausted that. What I'd like to do now is just share some examples of the impact that these things, both the positive and negative, can have on our lives in a practical way. When we were in Germany, we met a couple there, and the wife really took off spiritually, and my wife was helping her and memorize scripture and quiet time. Well, she just took off. But the husband really laid back, and we were in Bible study together, and he was just real kind of hesitant. And I couldn't figure out what was going on. And then all of a sudden, they came over for Bible study one night, and he was like a different person. As far as I can tell, the only thing that changed was, you know, I'd been talking to him about memorizing Scripture, you know. And he had decided to begin to memorize Scripture. And he started memorizing Scripture, and he got so excited about scripture memory. I mean, it was like turning a light on. Now, he was already a Christian, but I mean, this was kind of turning a light on, and it really made a difference. They recruited some people to an evangelistic Bible study, and so we had a little evangelistic Bible study when we were there. A first lieutenant in a howitzer battery came to Christ through that, and so I began to try to help him grow, and he loved to have quiet time, loved to read, you know, boy, it was great, and loved to do Bible study and just loved to do that. But he would not memorize Scripture. He did not see the reason to memorize word for word. If you knew the thought, you knew where it was, and he just would not memorize Scripture. He also had trouble with some pornography, and he had Playboy things stacked up all over his office, you know, and so he had trouble with this. I couldn't get him to memorize Scripture. He hung in there for a while, but after about 4 or 5 years, ended up getting involved in an affair with an across-the-street neighbor, divorcing his wife, leaving his two sons, and he's probably over in Saudi Arabia now on one of those howitzer batteries, because that's what the last I heard of him, he was in Fort Sill. And a tragic deal, you know. Now, I can't blame not memorizing Scripture on that. I mean, would that have changed things? But the fact was, he was resistant to memorizing Scripture, and that, I'm convinced, opened himself up for problems later on. That if he would have applied Proverbs 6:20-26, you see, maybe that wouldn't happen in his life.
He probably knew also that was going to demand that he give it up and he didn't want to hear it.
Well, maybe so. We get back to lordship, and I didn't have the experience enough to see through that and say, hey, the issue is not scripture memory. It's pornography. It's immorality. And I need to deal with that, see? So I probably blew it in that. When we were in Kansas, we had the opportunity to have a Bible study in our neighborhood, and this couple across the street started coming, and he came to Christ. And both of them were real excited about memorized Scripture. And man, they just memorized Scripture. They'd take the verses home, they'd have their kids review their verses for them, you know, and they'd give the verse, and the kids would review them. That was 5 years ago or something, 6 years ago. They're still walking with Christ. All three of their children have become Christians through the Youth for Christ ministry up there, you know, and they have a heart for reaching out to their family members. And so memorizing Scripture will just do things in people's lives that it's just really good. And it'll do things in our lives that we need. But what about the system? My experience was when I first started memorizing, we were memorizing about 3 verses a week, you know, and everyone was doing it, and so it was real motivated and all that. But what I found was, after about, and what we would do is, we would memorize, we would review the verse daily for about, 2 months, and then we put it in our back review, and we get into our back review once a week. But what I found is, after about 5 years, that back review, you've got a lot of verses in 1 week, and so you kind of spread it out to 2 weeks, then you spread it out to 3 weeks, and then you spread it out to 4 weeks, see? And so, by the time you memorize a new verse, you put it in your back review, you don't see that verse for a month. By the time you get to it, you know, you kind of look at it and, well, I don't know it very well, but I'll struggle through it, see? So you don't know it very well, but you keep it in your back review. So then I did that for about 5 years. I kind of struggled through my back review and basically almost lost all my verses that I knew. I just didn't know any of my verses in my back review. And so then I heard about John Crawford's reclaiming system, so I reclaimed all the verses. And then, 5 years later, and then I thought, well, now what's going to be different? And then I heard about a different kind of system that will help, that I think that has helped me and will help you if you're struggling in this area. And it looks like some of the questions are related to the area that will help you. And for those of you who are just getting started, I'd recommend that you start in this way. So let's, and then for y'all that have been memorizing, you may want to make some adjustments in your review system, and you may want to talk to Crawford about how he recommends reclaiming your verses, and then getting your back review set up in this little bit different way. So let's go through just the method here. Number one, set a practical and attainable goal. I think 2 verses a week is reasonable, because the idea of having a system is, in college you've got all the time in the world. I mean, you can do whatever you want to do, you know. But when you're in the real world, like we are, you've got so many pressures. You may want to memorize scripture, but how do you fit that into everything else? You know, have a quiet time, have prayer time, have Bible study time, time with family, time at work. You know, I mean, how do you fit it all in? And so the idea is to have a system that fits in your schedule that allows you to fit that in, so that you'll be able to have scripture memory as a lifelong endeavor, not just something that you do just because you went through the 2-7 course or did this Bible study and then you dropped it. But it's a lifelong thing. Just like quiet time and having a life of evangelism is a lifelong endeavor. We set aside some time free of distractions when you memorize a new verse. Don't try to do that while you're watching TV or listening to your wife or something like that. So you need to set aside 10 to 15 minutes to memorize that verse. And then write the verse on one side of the card. And on the other side, write the reference. And I like to do it like this, because when you're reviewing, you know, you've got your verse in front of you. You look at the verse. This is in your daily review. Look at the verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17, and you quote it. And you just flip it over and you read it, and then make sure you got it word perfectly. And then you quote the reference again. If you put the reference on this side, it lets you cheat, and it keeps you from remembering the reference as well. It forces you to kind of double review the reference, and that will help you remember the reference on the verses. And there was a question about that. So just write the reference on one side and don't write it on the other. Just write the verse on that side. And then just you can flip it over when you're reviewing.
I have one question. You can put like in the corner down there maybe just a topic, 1 or 2 word topic.
Oh, sure.
And also one thing helps me is like the first 2 or 3 words, kind of like a book on the verse. I put that just above the date, so that if you can't quite recall just how it starts, well, that's kind of a hook to take off.
What I found, though...
I try to put it in there, but can't, but then I use that.
Yeah. What I found, though, is those hooks mess me up. And so when I'm out talking to Bill, and I want to remember that verse, I don't have the hook. And so I can't get the verse started, and so I don't put hooks on that side. I do put the date that I memorized the verse down in the corner. So I try to recall the verse just based on the reference. Because I'm talking to Bill on, you know, 2 Corinthians 5:17, and see.
If you think of the word therefore, then the whole verse would flow, but if you can't get therefore, then you're saying, how did the verse start?
Yeah.
It's like a log chain. You find the hook, the whole verse.
Yeah. I did that for a while, but I don't do it anymore.
Question.
Okay.
Do you have any problem with putting topics and titles on the verse?
No, I mean, I think that's one of the things people recommend too, and I think that's fine if you want to put a topic on there. I think that's fine. When you memorize the verse, you memorize it phrase by phrase, and for the folks that haven't memorized before, let's go to that. So if I was going to memorize 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, therefore if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, you take it phrase by phrase. You get that one down, you go on to the next phrase. He is a new creation. He is a new creation. He is a new creation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. And you just keep adding the phrases until you have the whole verse memorized with reference before and after. And then what I do is I review that verse five times in a row, word perfectly, before I tell myself I've got it memorized. So in that 10 or 15 minute space of time, that's what I do. And so once I can get it five times, word perfectly, then I feel like I've memorized the verse.
Do you suggest writing it down on piece of paper if you're having trouble and, you know...
I think some...
Write it down?
Well, I think some people... there's a word for that, syntactic learners or something. Yeah, and I think some people learn better by writing. Other people learn better by visualizing, you know, seeing it. I think it just depends on what works good for you, as far as memorizing it. You know, whatever works for you. And so, if that works better for you, I don't see anything wrong with that. But the idea is that you would be able to quote it five times in a row without an error. And if you get down to the, you know, you've quoted it four times in a row perfectly, you get down to the fifth time, and you get down to the next to last word, and you mess up, you've got to start over again, back number one again, see? And that's just been an exercise that I've done so that it ensures against not memorizing it very well to begin with. And that's one of the things you all talked about, I think, that you don't memorize it well to begin with.
You know why patients wait so long in the office?
Yeah.
One thing that I think is really important is a lot of people say, well, you know, I don't learn like somebody else does, and it's real important for us to figure out how we as an individual learn. But a lot of people will say, well, I don't learn that way, so I'm not going to write them on cards. And I think when you come to that point and you say, I'm not going to write them on cards, 99% of people are not going to memorize Scripture.
Exactly. And it goes back to we didn't talk about that. It goes back to having the system, and the reason that we do it this way is because it allows us then to fit it into our lives. Because then we can put those cards in our verse pack and carry it around with us, you see, and it's part of the system. And so if we leave out part of the system, it's not going to work, and that's right. And the other negative about people don't like to use the system, this top memory system, is that they just don't want to do what you recommend they do. I mean, there's just an attitude of unteachableness, and I pick that up too. I say, well, this is the best way to kind of memorize Scripture, at least in my experience. And they say, well, I don't see why I need to use a card.
The point is to learn it however you need to learn it, but write it on a card so you can review it.
Because then you have it to review. That's good. Thanks, Tim.
If anybody's musically inclined, singing sure works.
Yep. Sing, especially for kids. They love to memorize verses.
Also, write a little verse card. There's no way someone else can check on their verse if they don't already know the verse.
Exactly.
Down on a card.
Right. Unless they know the verse in your version. You know,
when I started doing this, the cards I had were a bunch of business cards, And so I started writing them on that, and then God prompted me each time I would see, like, John Doe, attorney at law, I'd see that name, it'd be somebody I'd met, and I'd think, pray for that guy.
That's neat.
So I've made it a practice now of collecting business cards so I can put...
Fantastic. Great. It's economical, too. That's right. Okay. And then you set aside each time to review those daily reverses, and you review your daily review every day for 12 weeks, down to number 5. And you'll know when the 12 weeks are up because you put this date down in the corner here. That tells you when you... So... February to March, March, April, April, May. So May 23rd, 1991, you would have reviewed that daily for 3 months. And then you're ready to put it into your weekly review, and I'll explain that. We talked about how to review the verses. We talked about repeating the process. Oh, it's good, once you memorize a verse, you've done the verse memory, to check it. Be checked up on by someone else. So you need to every week get with someone and let them check your verses. So make sure you've got it worded perfectly. Accountability.
Is that 12 weeks? Is that something that you decided that need to be that long? Is that a magical feat?
Well,
not only TMS, some of those verses are anywhere from 6 weeks, about 48 days or something like that, all the way to about 84 days. So some are memorized more than less before they take it.
Yeah. Well, I think whatever works. For you, I know that when I first got started and was younger, I think probably 2 months was enough. But I think I lost some of my brain cells. And it takes me longer now before I really feel like I have it. And so I go 12 weeks. But, you know, you may want to go longer on other verses. But I think the more regimented and the more same you can do things, the better. Because it's kind of hard to remember, oh yeah, that verse I was going to review for a little bit longer. So I think trying to keep things this kind of same pattern might be a little bit better for you.
When you've selected a verse for memory, if it's a passage, how do you break that down? I mean, like if you're going to memorize the Beatitudes, that's 13 verses, and you can't put that on one.
No.
I just make successive cards,
and passages are real hard because... You know, you memorize 1 Corinthians 13, you memorize Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you know, you've got 2-3 chapters there, and they all come together, and it's hard to pick out a verse out of the middle of that. You say, well, what does Matthew 5, 23 say? Well, Matthew 5, 1, you know, and you finally get to 23, you know, and so I found that to be hard. Now, I'm not saying don't memorize passages, because I think it's good to memorize passages, but what I'm saying is, I have found it's hard to pick those verses out of those passages. But that's okay. I mean, I still get the benefit of every 6 weeks going through Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I mean, every 6 weeks, see? And in my back review, it's not that big a deal because I start Matthew 5, 1, and I go through. But just in using them, pulling them out for people, it's harder to get them out of the passages. But I think some passages are really good. But I just go verse, each verse on one card on that.
Do you do it in the same sequence every time so that you're memorizing the verses in the same sequence, or do you shuffle?
In your back review or what? We're going to get to the review here, down here, and that'll answer that thing. So 12 weeks after starting, you'll have 24 verses in your daily review pack, and the next week, you'll take out the first verse that you memorized and put it in what we'll call the weekly review. Sounds like a television show. Weekly review. So our daily review here, and if we go by this, we have 24 verses that we're looking at every day. And then, so then, after 12 weeks, we take one out and we put it in our weekly review. And when you first get started, and what that means is these, you just review once a week. So when you first get started, you'll just have one verse in there. So you just, on Sunday, you know, you can just take out that one verse and review that, and you've done your weekly review. And that's not very hard. And so you'll review the verses in your weekly review pack once a week. So each week, you see, as you go on, you'll be adding two verses a week to the weekly review. You'll be memorizing two new verses and then two verses into your weekly review. And you'll review those once a week. But as these increase, you see, then what you'll need to do is split them between each day. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So that if you have 70 verses, instead of reviewing 70 verses on Sunday, then you know you'll review 10 here, 10 there, 10 there, 10 there. And so each day you'll have 24 daily review and 10 in your weekly review. Now after memorizing down on number 10, after memorizing for 52 weeks, you'll have 24 verses in your daily review pack. You'll have 80 verses in your weekly review pack. And so that rather than reviewing all 80 verses, like I said, you divide them up, and then you should be able to get through 48 verses or so in about 15-20 minutes. And carrying your verse pack with you will help you take advantage of small bits of time to do that. Now this is where this is what really helped me on the next page, and this is what really got me. After 2 years now, then what do we do? After 2 years, we're going to have 24 verses in our daily review pack, and we're going to have 24 verses in each day here. So each day you'll be reviewing about 48 verses, and that's about as much as I think you ought to try to handle, is reviewing 50 verses a day, really working on them actively. Unless you have 4 extra hours every day that you don't have anything to do, you know what I mean? then you can probably do more than 50 a day. But what I'm trying to say is these numbers are able to be fit into a busy lifestyle. You can do this in the middle of a busy lifestyle. You don't have to throw away scripture memory. So then what do you do after this weekly review? After a verse has been in your weekly review for 2 years, and you know that it's been in there because February 23rd, 1993, if we're still here and not with the Lord, you see, this verse has been in your weekly review, and you're doing your weekly review, and then you say, oh, it's been there 2 years. Now I'm going to put that in my back review. In the weekly review, I don't have it in any order. I just, whenever I get through with my daily review, 12 weeks there, I put it in Saturday, you see. And let's say I've had my verse on Sunday for 2 years, okay, so I'll take that verse out. And I'll put that in my back review, and so that moves up a little bit. See, so after 2 years, this will move up through that order, and it doesn't really matter how you have it in order there. If you've got 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 1, and Psalms 1:1 and 2, after that. But then what I do in my backly review, is I put it in the order. I've got the TMS in the front. And then I start Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Then I put it in the biblical order in my back review. In my back review, I get and that's in the order of the Old Testament and the New Testament after TMS. And I go through that every 6 weeks. And so what I do is I've got... This is my weekly review. So I just fixed up some cards, and so I've just divided these into about an equal number. So each day, have you seen that commercial? The guy is a coffee commercial, and the guy's in the shower like this, and the water's coming out of the shower, and someone sticks a cup of coffee in his face, you know, and he kind of revives. What I do is before my quiet time gets started, as the tea is brewing, you know, and I stumble in, I'll stumble in and open that thing and I'll get out my Sunday verses, you know. And so I'll go through my weekly review verses while I'm waiting for the coffee to get started and kind of getting in the mood to have a quiet time. And that's when I do that. And I'm usually awake enough that I can remember that. And then, in my back review, though, what I've done is I've divided those up into sections that have about 20 or so verses or 25. And what I did was I have a little divider thing here, and I took six cards, and my back review is every 6 weeks. And so I've just finished my January to February 15th back review, 6 weeks, okay? So now February 15th to March 30th. That's six more weeks, right? So I've got that, and I put this right here. I've memorized this. I've reviewed this section already, so I'll put this right in here. And this just reminds me that I've got this many more verses to go before the end of March. So I may not review a pack of these a day. You see what I mean? I may wait till I go on a trip or something. Well, I'm going to go on a trip. I know I have about a 30-minute drive. I'll take out about four of my back review, and I can get through some of my back review while I'm driving on that trip or while I'm going to that concert, you know, or something like that. And so there's more flexibility in that back review. And the daily and weekly review I'm working at, I've got, you know, I'm carrying my verse pack around. What my practical everyday experience has been is that I can I get through my weekly review, and then I'll pull out a pack from my back review and put that in one side of my verse pack, and then during the day I'll try to get through my daily review, and then when I get through my daily review, then I'll try to get through my back review. That's kind of the order I try to go in. So, and so I really want to get through my weekly review and my daily review for sure every day. But I may not get through my back review that day. I may have to pick up two the next day. And what I found is that how that's helped me is I've got my verse here, but if I just took my daily review verse and after 12 weeks, stuck it in my back review, I wouldn't see it for 6 weeks. And by the time I got to that, it would be old, and I couldn't remember it. But what I have found doing this way is, okay, I go from a daily review, then I go right to the week. So for 2 years, I'm reviewing that verse weekly, which is more often than every 6 weeks. And so I've got a better handle on the verse by the time I get to putting it in my back review. Because in my back review, I'm only going to see it every 6 weeks. But I've been working on it for 2 years and 3 months. So I know it well enough that's okay. That I can come upon it in 6 weeks and I'll know it. Now, if I come upon verses in my weekly review or my back review, you know, I see the reference, and it's just blank. I mean, I can't think of it at all. And that happens twice, two in a row. I mean, the next time I go through, I can't think of it either. I'll pull that verse out and put it back in my back here and just start over with it. Because it's more important to me to know these well than it is to have a back review full of verses that I don't know that are going to be discouraging to me. And I'm not in any kind of a race to see how many verses I can get. These that are finally here, I want to know those real well. And I figured that 50 verses a day for 6 weeks is about 2,000 verses. And so that's kind of a goal that I've set. And so if I don't do any more than 2,000 verses, okay, whenever I get to that point, I'll be able to maintain 50 verses a day for 6 weeks, my back review, I'll know 2,000 verses. And that is kind of my approach to that. And Now, maybe I'll get to that goal and I'll say, okay, I have a little bit more extra time. I want to memorize some new verses too. So maybe I'll go ahead and start. But this to me is a practical way of approaching it. It's doable. 50 verses a day over 6 weeks is a good goal to shoot for, and it's something that you can do. Some important memory habits to maintain are starting early, you know, carry the pack with you, quote the references, double duty there so we get those extra good, extra well. It's important to maintain word perfection and finish review every day. It's good, I think, to try to finish early and not wait until your evening when you're tired, although I do some review before going to sleep at night sometimes. I try not to do that. And then I recommend that you keep a list of your verses that you've memorized and then the verses that you want to memorize that you get out of your quiet time or out of a sermon or something so that you always have a fresh list that you're going to feed into your daily review. And on the back here, I've listed the topical memory system. And so if you're just getting started, what I would recommend is that you get some verses. You can buy packages of verses, blank verses like this. You know, you don't have to send them to the NAV press to get your TMS and pay $10, whatever it is. Just buy a package of blank verses and just start going through the TMS. The Proclaim Christ series, you know, basically that's the bridge illustration. So when you've memorized that set of verses, you'll have the bridge illustration basically memorized. And so it'd be helpful to you. Okay. Now, are there any other questions? Yes.
Could you just kind of highlight John Crawford's reclaiming?
Okay.
Quickly?
Well, what he recommends doing is well, let me tell you what I did. Okay. Because I kind of did what he recommended, but not exactly. What I did was I went through all my verses, and the ones that I knew cold, you know, those were the ones that I memorized back in 1971, you know, in 72. I mean, I've reviewed those for years. So I knew those cold. I took those aside, and I put those in my back review because I knew those well enough that I could review those every 6 weeks, and I had them well. But any other verse I didn't know, I put over in a stack of verses to rememorize. And then I just started rememorizing them just like brand new verses. So even though I might have memorized 2 Corinthians 5:17 in 1972, if I didn't know it very well, I put that in that stack. And so it took me about 5 years to work through those verses that I'd already memorized and to get them back into my back review where I knew them. And it sounds like a lot of time, but to me, it was worth the time doing that rather than looking at the 15 years of scripture memory I had done and just throwing that all away. See? So to me, it was do this or just lose all those that I had done before. And so now I'm memorizing new verses and just feeding them into this system. And then when I come across a verse I don't know, I'll just reclaim it, feed it back in. That's a little bit different than what Crawford does. But Crawford would like you to know all the verses that you know in Genesis and have that memorized too. And that way you can review while you're taking a shower and all that. And so that might be something you want to do too. But I haven't gotten to that point yet. Any other questions at all?
Version for translation for memorizing. I've heard, you know, memorizing one that you read.
Yeah.
Of course, I've run into trouble. You know, I grew up on King James and then went to the NAS and memorized a bunch of there. And now I'm teaching Sunday school with 7th and 8th graders. I just find the NIV is a whole lot easier for them to read. So now I'm doing most of my reading and memorizing the NIV. Now I'm re-memorizing.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Lauren Satty says you're not supposed to do that, and he says that that you shouldn't try to rememorize a verse that you already have in King James. So I don't try to do that, because it's what you do is you just get so confused you don't know what the verse says. And so I mean, if I memorize, see, this is Schofield, this is King James Schofield. So I just keep it in Schofield. I mean, that's a pretty good version. I think I would. Whatever you feel like doing. I think I would go back to the original version that you memorized it in, because that was the one you first memorized it in. But I wouldn't try to. Now I've got some in King James, some in Living, some in NASB, some in J.B. Phillips. But I don't try to memorize the same verse in two or three versions.
That's something else too I found helpful. Since I have verses and different things, also on the side where I have the scripture reference, I also put in parentheses NIV or NAS.
Uh-huh.
So if I want to go back to write something, I know where to.
Uh-huh. That's good.
If you somehow get off a day on your weekly review or on, maybe on the back of the review, you just kind of move everything back a slot, or you try to catch up?
I try to catch up. If I don't review Sunday, then on Monday I try to review Sunday and Monday. I try not to get behind in my weekly review. I hit my daily review 5 out of 7. I mean, that's what I'm averaging. So, I mean, I don't average my daily review 7 out of 7. I try to get it 7 out of 7, 7 days 7. But I average about 5 out of 7, truthfully.
Also, I find it extremely critical right now in the slums of my scripture memory. And I know the reason I am is I don't have anybody that's driving me, and there's nobody that I'm driving to memorize.
Yeah.
It's just not a one-man show. I can do it by myself for a period of time. But over the years, I just, you know, I can get some in it, and maybe I'll come up with it.
Yeah, I think if I were not in a study that held me accountable, I probably wouldn't be doing it either.
Is it easier for someone to tell you, or is it just as easy to do yourself?
Well, I think that you need to do it yourself with your review and all that, but it's not a bad idea to once a week at least let someone review the new verses you've memorized. Yeah, and then if you have someone that will review you more than that, that's great too. You know, like take out a pack of your back review and review that. That'd be fine too. Why don't we go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we can be dismissed. Father, we do just thank you that you've given us your word, and you've given us minds and the ability to hide your word in our heart. And I pray that you just help us to have a real love for your word, and I would be motivated to get to know you better and allow you to do the things in our lives that you want to do through your word in our lives. And that you would just do that in each of our lives and hear this morning. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.